Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Father, I thank you for this beautiful day that you've made. I thank you that you've given every person in this room an opportunity to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, oh God, for your love that is in this room even now. You've captured our hearts. I thank you for preparing the hearts that are in this room right now, oh God. My God, I thank you that every word that I say will come from you. My God, that I will be your vessel, that I will say exactly what you want me to say, that it will pierce the hearts of your people. My God, that your personality will come through and just spread, Father, spread, transform, change. Embed the theme of revival in every heart, that it would burn to change the communities around them, to change the nation, to change, oh God, the jobs that they're on, to change the schools that they're in, Father. I thank you, oh God, for the burning passion even now. And we give you glory because we know that whatever you came to do today, you're going to do it. You're going to fulfill it. And it's going to happen. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 So, I'm a little nervous, so bear with me, but it's going to go away like in 5 minutes when I get in my flow. So I'm going to talk today about valuing the Holy Spirit. Valuing the Holy Spirit, especially in a time of revival and change and transformation that we are in now. I know that a lot of us see a lot of stuff that's going on in the world today. And it may look bleak, it may look crazy, but believe it or not, there's some amazing things happening, especially in the body of Christ. There's amazing things happening. And I truly believe that this is a crucial time for us to get really into what we're doing. So this is for the people who are just working for a paycheck. This is really the time to get into what you really need to do for the world and to change, you know, the things around you. It's not time to just go to work anymore just to get a check, all right? It's a crucial time. So we're going to turn to John chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 7 and 12. When you find it, just say amen. I don't know all the church jargon, so I'm going to try, but I'm from Brooklyn, so I just speak like Brooklyn. So when you find it, just let me know. Let me know when you get to John 16, verse 7. And then we're going to read 12. Got an amen. I heard that. All right. All right. So verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Verse 12 says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." All right? So in this verse, let me just give you a little backdrop. It explores the story of Jesus talking to his disciples, pretty much explaining what the Holy Spirit was, what he was coming to do, what the expectations were. And it was given a brief synopsis or a briefing of what they should expect as he was leaving and then leaving them with something to remain in his place, right? So now, Jesus did all that he did. The mission was completed, but he promised that he was going to leave something, someone, rather. Leave someone, right? If you read chapter 16, you can do that when you have your time. It'll show you the exact conversation that he had. For some reason, the disciples didn't want Jesus to leave. They didn't want him to go. But I don't blame them, though, because if we had Jesus walking amongst us, too, we probably wouldn't want him to leave either. They weren't in expectation for what was to come. I honestly feel like they didn't know that the Holy Spirit was going to be the fullness of him. They probably thought it was just going to be, you know, oh, it's just something he's leaving. But what God told me this morning was, "I left pieces of me, but still gave you whole." And that was so amazing. He left pieces of himself in us, but still gave us a whole package. We still had every piece of him, every part of his access, everything that he had, we had, and it was still pieced out to everybody in the world. What an amazing God. That's a marketing tool for any business people in here, too. Piece yourself out, but give them the whole. Come on. Come on, I'm going to teach y'all today. So, okay, let's talk about the Trinity, because I feel like a lot of us have a hard time understanding the Trinity. I feel like when I first got saved, I didn't understand what that was. Like, how could three be one? That doesn't make sense to me. I'm a logical person, so three is three and one is one. But understanding the complexity of the Trinity, but understanding its simplicity as well, is very important, and knowing who the Holy Spirit is and what that means to you, right? Now, Jesus wanted us to understand the significance behind the Holy Spirit, why he was sent, and how he was sent as a comforter. I looked up the word comforter. I love the Greek translations because it makes so much sense to me. And the word comforter means parakletos. Parakletos just means someone or something that can make an exact account of something as if they were there. So imagine a witness who was at the scene of the crime. And you know, sometimes, especially in our times now, Lord help us, Jesus, they'll say, oh yeah, I saw a black man in a red shirt. Okay, where's the black man in a red shirt? Every black man in a red shirt is gonna be stopped because you saw a black man in a red shirt. But the word parakletos means a person who can account as if they were that person. They can give an exact account, exactly what happened, exactly what went down. So that word parakletos means advocate, an aide, a helper, right? In another translation, it means someone who can give an account because they're close enough. So when you read that portion of scripture, Jesus explained that the Holy Spirit could not come through until he left. Not until he left. They didn't want Jesus to leave. They got so used to him being right there, they couldn't understand their lives without him. They couldn't understand them without him actually being physically there. But he wanted them to understand that he was leaving something, someone with them that had the same account as he did, that can speak just like him, that can move just like him, but can be accessible to everybody, right? Because when Jesus was on earth, like, I'm one person. If I go around and heal in Brooklyn, I can't come to Queens and help you out. It's just not happening. So the Holy Spirit was accessible to everybody, right? I'm gonna close this iPad. I don't like technology. We're gonna go with, see, this is why I wrote my papers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mom, for your iPad. However, we're gonna go with our old school. Okay, so this was our advocate, our replacement, right? So now I love the analogy about H2O. I love it. Because when I wanted to understand what the Trinity meant, I had to break it down. I used to teach children church in my old school, my old church. And I had to break it down to them. And I didn't understand it myself. So I'm like, Lord, you better give me a revelation where I can actually speak to these children. And H2O came to mind. Everybody knows what H2O is. We all passed that in school, right? Yes, yes. Shout out to the pastor. He knows what H2O is. All right, so as deeming three is three and one is one, it was hard to understand how can three be one? Now, we know that H2O can be water, it can be ice, and it can be vapor, right? So those are three components, but they still make up H2O. They all have that same core. It's H2O. Now, three forms that accomplish different missions used in different methods, and the time of use is very essential. Like, you're not gonna water your plants with a bucket of vapor. Like, please don't do that. I will call the G building for you. Don't do it. It just doesn't work. But however, it's still H2O, right? So there's levels to this. I just want us to understand the importance that three things can be one, have different functions, still operate the same, and still bring about the same amount of power, authority, and change, right? Now, I live in a West Indian home, shout out to my family, and we ship a lot of barrels. I hate those things. They're like big and bulky, and they stay in the living room. We have them there now, and I'm telling them to get it out. They won't send it. Oh, it's gone? Thank you, Mom. It's gone. I got confirmation. But, barrels, we ship them to St. Vincent, that's where my family's from. And I realized that in order for the barrel to reach the different ports, there was a different vehicle taking them to each port, right? So from my house to the shipping place, they put it in a van. From the shipping place to St. Vincent, they put it on a ship or a plane. From St. Vincent to the house that it's going to, they put it on a truck. There were different modes of transportation for every different mission, for every mode of the mission. So God was here in the beginning, And he did his thing through the law, through instruction, and he realized there was a shift of mission. So I'm gonna send Jesus. Jesus came through, he did his thing, there was another shift of mission. He said, I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit. So with every different level of the mission, there was a different mode of transportation, another vehicle, right? So we have to understand that the reason why the Holy Spirit is now in play is that the mission has changed. We now have the level of responsibility that Jesus had when he was here by himself. Different mission, different mode of transportation, right? Now, God gave us instructions, or rather Jesus gave us instructions in John 14:12, and he said that greater works shall we do. And that wasn't the end. I love how God is like the perfect teacher. Like, you know, when you've been in school, I know for me, listening doesn't really help me. And that's probably why, you know, I got in trouble a lot. But I like to write. So when the professor spoke and I wrote everything they said, that's how I retained information. But some teachers don't know that you have to pretty much try to hit everybody in different manners, teach the same thing, but get everybody, you know, together, because everybody doesn't learn the same. So I love that God understood that everybody just wasn't going to get the God mode. Everybody just wasn't going to get through the Jesus mode. But the Holy Spirit gets everybody. We all have an opportunity to receive him. We all have an opportunity to release him. And so that mode, that vehicle just makes so much sense. He's able to inhabit all of us. Amen. I'm happy about that. Because I know I couldn't get to Jesus if he was in Staten Island. I'm not taking no ferry. No, no. So he said in Matthew 28:19-20, you don't have to turn to it. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely, this is the part I love, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Somebody say, how, Sway? How? How you leaving and you say you're going to be with me to the very end of the age? How? How? So the helper, he knew the helper was about to be in the building. He knew that something that everybody was able to attain was about to step in and take over, right? So now let's identify who this helper is, because you can have something. I could buy the latest iPhone and never use it, and it means nothing to me. So who is the helper? How do we now apply this to our lives in this time of revival and change? How do we acknowledge who he is? The two major responsibilities that God gave me that the Holy Spirit has, and there's so many other responsibilities, but we're going to make umbrellas. To inhabit and to influence. Inhabit and influence. To inhabit means, come on, thesaurus, to dwell amongst and in, to occupy, and to reside, right? To influence means to persuade, to affect, impact, or motivate. I love that God really just set us up with every single thing that we need. He really set us up. The complete package, like I said, he pieced out himself and still gave us a whole. A whole. I love that. I love that so much. That thing hit me so hard this morning. I'm like, when's the last time you ate a slice of pizza and felt like you ate a whole one? Like, you got the whole thing. The whole thing. The whole thing. I know me. I gotta eat the whole thing. So what does that mean for us? Our command from the beginning was to be fruitful and to multiply, right? It doesn't mean like the Jews take it. I love the Jews, but it doesn't mean just to have babies, right? To be fruitful and multiply. No shots. Anybody Jewish in here? No shots. To be fruitful and multiply means to bring about expansion and increase, right? And also with recruitment. Because God wanted them to go out, make disciples, be fruitful, and multiply as well. In the garden, we heard God instruct them to be fruitful and multiply. Every creation. We see the trees obeying this command all the time, right? It starts out, seed in the ground, plant, grows into a big tree. We get fruit from it. We see animals being fruitful and multiply through reproduction. We see even the day and the nights obeying that command. That every time their time is over, or every time something changes, they bring forth something new in their time, right? So there's a time for a tree. There's a time for an animal to give birth. There's a time for day to turn into night and night to turn into day. So everybody say, in its time. In its time. We have that same command the responsibility on us to establish something new in our time. In our time. Are we establishing new things? I know for me, I'm getting sick and tired of everything that's going on in the world right now. We had Bible study on Tuesday, and one of the word of the Lord was that Pastor was talking about divorcing yourself from the things of this world. And I just looked at natural divorce, and I saw that people get divorced when they're tired, right? So God's saying, in order for us to actually divorce ourselves from the world and get into revival mode, we gotta get tired. Are you tired of everything that's going on? Are you tired of your situations? Are you tired of the things that are happening in your life that seem like cycles? You gotta get tired to bring about change and transformation. So all that stuff is getting old. I'm over it. But the Holy Spirit was sent by God to inhabit and influence us to transport heaven's realities to earth. That's why when Jesus saw the tree and it wasn't looking like heaven, he cursed it. Everything around you should look like heaven's realities, but you have to know what heaven looks like. We have to read our word and talk to God and ask him, what does heaven look like? Why are my finances not looking like heaven? Why is my family not looking like heaven? Why is my job not looking like heaven? Why is my home not looking like heaven? Why are the things around me not resembling heaven's realities? Now remember I said the Holy Spirit has been sent by God to inhabit and to influence, to dwell in us and then to motivate us to change what he's placed inside of us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, right? He reveals who Jesus is to us. He reveals what we have on the inside. He reveals our capabilities, reveals our identity. And then he gives us the ultimate experience that leads us into personal revival and guides us into recognizing the confidence needed for world revival. I'm gonna say that one more time. The Holy Spirit gives us the ultimate experience that leads us first into personal revival and then guides us into recognizing the confidence needed for world revival. You cannot give what you don't have inside of you. You can't do it. It's not possible. He leads us into inner transformation and fills us with enough to release into the world and see outer transformation. So you wonder why things are not changing around you? Inner transformation, that's first. That's first, that's the precedence. So whatever's in you is gonna come out. Whatever's in you, you're gonna be able to release to your environment and change it. If a stink person comes into your home, I'm pretty sure your home is gonna stink. I'm pretty sure. Try it, no, don't try it. But I'm pretty sure whatever that person is overwhelmed with, it can change the very environment around you. Have you ever been around somebody that was so negative? And then you just start feeling negative, like, why am I mad? How am I just getting mad out of nowhere? Because you here. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when someone's overwhelmed with something, they have the ability to now transform the environment. So when we understand what is on the inside of us and what we're overwhelmed with, and you understand that when you step into a place, things have to change. They have to change. So, he leads us into inner transformation, fills us with enough to release and see outer transformation. You cannot bring heaven to earth without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You can't see transformation in your neighborhood, in your community, on your job, in your life without the Holy Spirit. You cannot see transformation in your situations without the Holy Spirit. Imagine a firefighter showing up to a fire with no water in their hose. How? How so? It's not happening. They cannot put out the fire. So we have what we need. We have what we need. We are strapped with the remedy. Jesus. You are strapped with the remedy. You're looking for answers everywhere else, but you are strapped with the remedy. Strapped. Full. Loaded. I don't got a gun, so I don't know about that life. But you're strapped with the remedy. So, okay, I watch a show religiously called Person of Interest, right? Anybody got Netflix in here? Thank you. Shout out to my brother Gene, who always gave me his Netflix code. Shout out to you. Word, it's illegal now, I heard. Oh well, anybody work for Netflix in here? All right, we good. So, it's on Netflix, and I love that show. And I kinda hate sometimes, this is one of the parts that I hate being saved when I'm watching a movie and I'm always getting revelation, like, can I just watch the movie? Like, why you gotta drop nuggets right now, God? Like, I'm just watching a movie. But I love that show, and I'm going to give you a brief synopsis so that I don't ruin it for anybody who wants to watch it. But this guy named Harold built a machine, right? He saw that there was a need that needed to be met. He built a machine. I'm trying to be as vague as possible because I can tell y'all the whole thing right now. He built a machine, and the machine was meant to help certain situations in his community. Now, he understood the power of this machine, right? So he did not want to get too close intimately with the machine, so he kind of worked at bay through cameras, televisions. The machine helped people in the community, but he didn't want to really talk directly to the machine. He wanted to like access it through other influences. Follow me, I don't want to lose y'all. There was a girl that came in the middle of the seasons. Her name was Root, and Root wanted to connect to this machine so bad. And Root pretty much told Harold, like, you gotta connect. In order for the mission to be, you know, spread the way that it needs to, because the machine really wanted to help the world, but because Harold didn't want to connect to the machine, it couldn't do as much as it wanted to. So Root said, you know what, I want to connect to the machine. Like, she's gonna talk to me. She's open. So Root spoke to the machine. The machine opened up to her. She put an earpiece in her ear. So everything that Root needed to hear came through this earpiece from the machine, right? Doesn't this remind you of some of us that access the Holy Spirit through outside influences, our pastors, our teachers, our friends that are saved, even movies and books, but are missing the intimate factor? Root wanted so bad, so bad. I kid you not, there were times she was begging him, like, just talk to her. Just talk to her. She wants to tell you how to save the world. Just talk to her. But he knew the level of accountability that would fall on him. Thank you. That would fall on him, and he knew that if I was to talk to this machine, I would have to do way more than I'm doing now. And we know that responsibility is heavy. Having the Holy Spirit is not so much an easy thing, because you're gonna move from a mentality of, like I said, oh, I want to work a job just to get money and get a house and get a car. That's good. But then the level of accountability that when I see somebody in the street and they're hurting, like, I really got to go talk to them. I really have to go pray for them. You're going to start getting those unctions, and now a new level of responsibility and accountability is going to fall on you. So Harold understood this. If I really talk to this machine, I'm going to have to do things that I don't want to do. And that's just it. He was too attached to his will, his plan, and he had his own understanding of what the machine could do for the world, and the machine wanted to break out and save the world. So, okay, Root, there were times where Root stepped through in different situations, like these robbers pulled up in a car, and Root had her earpiece in, and the machine was like, 2 o'clock, 45 degree angle, turn your gun, bam, 4 o'clock, bam, 9 o'clock, bam. Like, the instructions were so specific. And that part was just like, ooh, because in my head, I'm like, I'm not that focused. Like, my gun might be off a little degree, and I might shoot somebody else. Like, the amount of focus that she had, because she listened to the degree angle, she listened to how he moved, she listened to, you know, what the machine was saying. It was amazing, amazing. So there was a level of focus. There was a level that she couldn't even tap into her emotions at that time. She had to stay focused. She couldn't get irrational. She couldn't make crazy decisions because she could end up shooting somebody. But she was so in tune with that earpiece that every single thing that it said, she was able to bring a solution everywhere she went. Just because she was in tune. Just because she was willing to open up to what the machine was saying. We have a responsibility. A huge responsibility. Some of us don't even know that God is calling us to bigger and greater things. Like your life, you think you're on your job just to work? You think you're in school just to be in school? God just told me to change my major to public administration. Why? Why? But then when I saw how things were moving on the earth, I understood. I get it now. Like, I get it. It makes sense. So certain decisions you're going to have to make. The Holy Spirit is just going to tell you something, but you have to be open. He's not going to use somebody who doesn't want to be used, right? You got to be open to it. So just like Root was, I want to talk to this thing. I want to get close. I want to have this in my ear and in my heart that everything that he says, I want to be so in tune that I can't even make irrational decisions that messes up my life. I can't move too quick. I can't move too slow. I know when to speak. I know when to listen. If she spoke when that machine was talking to her, she could have missed a direction that could have, like, caused her to die. It was that serious, and it's that serious for us. There are decisions that you can make in your life that can cause you some serious damage. Serious damage. And God is a God of grace, so of course, you know, we believe in alignment and bringing us back to where we need to be. But I honestly believe that if you are open enough, if you are willing to receive the Holy Spirit, and even if you have the Holy Spirit and you haven't just been listening, there are some instructions that he wants to give to us. There are some very crucial instructions that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. And all you got to do is open up. Open up. So we're going to open up. We're going to be like Ruth. Hallelujah. This is a time where it's not time to get in your emotions and be irrational, but just listen. Open up yourself and listen. Hallelujah.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.